This is a very special event. It's accessible electronic voting, and it's something that we have been working toward for a long time. And I say we, not meaning me, but I'm meaning many people in this organization. And I'd like to start the presentation by introducing Cheryl Cummings, who has done a great deal in this effort, and then she'll pass it on to our president and then our guests from Secretary of State. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sharon, for putting together this session, because as you said, it's something that the Bay State Council of the Blind Advocacy Committee worked on, and I know other partners joined us in this effort. And I mean, in all honesty, it was something that we sort of thought would never happen. And then thanks to sort of changing circumstances, COVID, the pandemic, it was made available, this opportunity. And I think this is a historic sort of effort and a historical experience that we are sort of the first cohort that we'll be able to experience. And I truly hope that nothing is ever done to undo this, because I think it makes voting so much more available and easy for people with all types of disabilities. So I'm going to stop talking in 2 seconds, but I just want to share some dates with you, and then I'm going to pass it on to David. So I think everybody here is registered, but just in case you may have friends and family members who are not, please remind them that in order to vote in the primary, they must register by August 27th. The deadline to apply for a mail-in ballot is August 29th. Again, if you need to remind your friends, family, and also for us to be aware that the deadline is August 29th. Early voting, because I know in as much as this is revolutionary and I think, you know, historic, there are still people who will want to vote in person. And you need to know that early voting begins August 27th and goes until September 2nd. And to find out where the locations and the times in your town, you should contact your elections office. And then, of course, the most important thing is that the primary is on Tuesday, September 6th. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to David, our president.
Thank you, Cheryl. Again, I second Cheryl in being very excited about having this call tonight, as well as just that this initiative has moved as quickly as it has. As Cheryl said, and I agreed, I was really surprised at how fast it moved last year. Just cities where accessible voting was implemented, but that was just temporary last year, and that was just in a few cities. And now we have a law that makes it statewide and makes it permanent. We are the, as far as I know, we are the fourth state in the country to have this system implemented. So we're not the first, but we're in the vanguard. And I think many of us hope, you know, this will extend to many more states and maybe all 50 states. And you might think, well, that's a pipe dream given, you know, the state of our current politics, with red politics and blue politics and all of that. One thing that gives me a little bit of hope, you might be surprised, the first state to implement this was West Virginia, which is pretty red state. So this is not necessarily something that is just for going to be accepted in a certain number of states. And again, the more successful it is, and it was very successful last year, and very confident that it will be very successful again this year here. I think that success may hopefully breed more success and more states implementing this. We have a couple of people on the call from the Secretary of State's office who have been very hard, have been working very hard over the last few weeks to get this all up and going. Not an easy thing to do, for sure. And I would like to welcome those two people and thank them to the call and thank them for their work. Those two people are Michelle Tassinari, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name okay, who is legal counsel for the Secretary of State office, and Kelly Evans, who is the coordinator of the Accessible Vote by Mail initiative of the Secretary of at the Secretary of State's office. And as best I understand, they're sort of heading a whole team that's getting this thing up and going. So Michelle and Kelly, I'd like to thank you for coming, and I'd like to welcome you and give you the floor. Maybe you can talk a little bit about just what the process has been getting this up and going. And then also obviously let us know, what are the steps? What do we have to do to get ourselves all signed up for accessible voting, and then eventually to get our ballots? So again, thank you for coming, and the floor is with you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, David. Can everyone hear me okay? This is Michelle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So first of all, I would like to thank you guys for your assistance. As David mentioned, it hasn't necessarily been the easiest process, and we certainly appreciate your assistance in helping us go through it and making sure that our application that you can fill out, that is a fillable PDF, is working properly, and working with the assistive technologies. Our graphics department, who does our paperwork for us, thought they had it down. Unfortunately, wasn't working quite the way they expected. So David was essential in testing that for us, even though we do have some internal testers using assistive technology. David provided a lot of valuable feedback, and we certainly appreciate that. We are certainly happy that we are able to offer the Accessible Vote by Mail program. I want to kind of go back to 2020. 2020 was obviously a year in which we didn't plan for anything, because we didn't expect a pandemic. How's that? So in 2020, when we first started with shifting from voting in person to vote by mail, we understood the need for an accessible vote by mail system. The law at the time that was originally passed, which was the temporary law for 2020, did require that the ballots be printed. You could receive your ballot electronically, mark it electronically, but then did require that it was printed and mailed or to be returned. It couldn't be returned electronically. Based on that, we had in 2020 engaged whatever companies said they could offer this a system like that, based on the specifications we had from that legislation. So in 2020, we used the system that we used was through Voting Works, which is now a different name. It seemed like it was okay. They were able to at least stand it up pretty quickly. However, on the administrative side for us, it was a challenge, to say the least. We knew that our local election officials were already dealing with enough new changes, so that we wanted to try to support them as much as possible by receiving the applications through our office and assisting them in making sure that getting the access to the ballots and then having the any of the information that was needed. We quickly realized that was something that our capacity was limited as well, because under the normal process of the law, anyone who's applying for a ballot by mail is applying through their local election official, because they are the ones who are validating the voters, verifying the applications, and generally mailing out the ballots and all of that additional information. After the primary, we quickly also realized that printing a ballot by mail doesn't necessarily make it accessible. If the point is to vote privately and independently, if you are unable to mark your ballot, you might also be unable to print your ballot. And honestly, who has a printer nowadays? And then print it, fold it, put it in an envelope. So it didn't make the process any more accessible if you can mark it on your own, but you can't actually do the rest of the process. So we were sued. We weren't unhappy to be sued, because we weren't able to change the law by ourselves. So we were able to quickly agree with the Disability Law Center, who brought the lawsuit, to be able to say, you're right, we shouldn't have to print the ballot to return it. Could be an option, but we shouldn't have to. But that's what the law said. We always get stuck with the laws and administering the ones that are given to us. So we were able to agree and have the ballots be returned electronically for that election. So we were, that worked for 2020. And then, of course, everything that happened in 2020 expired at the end of 2020. Some temporary measures were put in for 2021, which did include an accessible vote by mail or requesting accommodations for municipal elections. And I know that for many cities and some of the cities and towns, it seems like the majority of them that were doing this process used the system from Democracy Live. And it was called the Omni Ballot Portal. So, and that would, that system allowed for you to receive your ballot electronically, mark it, and then return it electronically. So when this new law came out, I will say that was signed in June. It would have been great if they had told us about this, like, you know, a year ago. Even 6 months ago would have been much more helpful for us to be able to effectively implement a program so that we could get advertise it more. But we'll take what we can get. And we took it. So we, when the final language came out, which was a struggle to pull any drafts out of the legislature as well, when we knew it was going to have accessible vote by mail, we started to look at what procedures we could do. We wanted to make sure that whatever system we were going to use, we could also extend to our cities and towns for their municipal elections. So we wanted a system that was versatile enough to be able to have 351, which is our cities and towns, local users be able to put their ballots for their municipal elections and validate voters that way too. So for state elections, we are the ones who produce the ballots. We have all of the information. So we're able to provide that to the vendor to be able to implement the ballots for the state elections. For this election, So when the legislation passed, the first thing that we decided we needed to do was and this is a lot of bureaucracy that I'm giving you for background. We issued a request for responses. We did have three companies that responded. One of them was the Democracy Live. And I will apologize now if I call it Democracy Works, because that is another organization. And I always interchange the two, even though they are totally different. And then the other one was called Enhanced Voting, which is the Voting Works program that we had used last time. And then the third company that had submitted a bid was called Votes, except they submitted their bid 2 minutes after the deadline, so we couldn't even look at it. So after a careful review, which included the functionality as well as the user experience on both sides, meaning from voters and from election officials, we went with the same Democracy Live system that the cities of Boston, Cambridge, Springfield, Worcester used in 2021. For us, that system provided the best user experience. In addition to testimonials from voters who have used it, we got rave reviews from our local election officials who thought it was a great program, and that it was easy to use, and that the customer support was a really superior to anything they had seen. So we were very pleased that we were able to go with them. So we have a contract with them. Kelly Emmons from our office has been working with them on a very regular basis, talking to them to make sure that we are implementing it so that the ballots are uploaded, that we're testing them to make sure that they're all correct. And then we will continue to do that for this election, the state primary, then the state election, and then we will work to support our cities and towns so that the same system is available for local elections throughout the Commonwealth. Our initial contract is for a couple of years, and then we have options to keep renewing that contract because we do want to make sure that we're keeping some consistency with the system. So the way in which it works, at least for this upcoming year, will be you're still going to apply to your city or town by submitting an application, which you can do. There is a fillable PDF on our website, which you can then email to your local election official. You could print it and mail it if you really want to, but no one wants to do that. And I don't see why you need to. The other option is to use our online portal. So our online portal, which was just brought up last week, just implemented last week with the ability to request primary ballots, as well as requesting an accommodation. So those are things that where those applications will go directly to the local election officials. So if you're doing the online portal, it will, you submit it through the online portal, and then in the morning when the local election official goes into their statewide database, they'll find a report there that has the information on it. And you can request the ballot for the state primary, the state election, or all remaining elections this calendar year through that process. So once the local election official gets those applications, they verify that you're a voter first. If you're voting in the primary, they're going to verify that you've requested the ballot of the party that you can actually vote in. For instance, if you are registered as a Democrat, you can only get a Democratic ballot. If you are registered as a Republican, you can only get a Republican ballot. If you're registered as unenrolled, which is commonly referred to as independent, you can pick which party ballot you want. But once you pick that party ballot, you cannot change your mind. There's no takesies backsies. Once you've requested a particular party ballot, you cannot get another party ballot. So they will verify that. And then for this election, they're going to send us the information so we can upload it into the system. So then they'll be able to send you access. You'll get two separate emails. One email will be a link to access it with instructions, and then the second email will be a PIN. And that's the way in which you'll be able to access the system. For future elections, the local election officials will be able to upload your information directly to make sure that you have access to the system. Once you get onto the system, which you do need to enter certain information, so you'll click the link, you'll have to enter your first name, last name, Callie can jump in because I'm missing it, date of birth. Callie, what else am I missing?
And you'll have to select your city, town. Yeah, first name, last name, date of birth, and then the PIN that the clerk gives you.
Yes. So then once you have that, it will pull up your ballot. And then on your ballot, you'll be able to use your whatever assistive technology you use on your computer to mark that ballot. And then you'll be able to submit the ballot and it'll go electronically through the portal, the Democracy Live portal. It's called Omni Ballot. And then the local election official will receive that ballot. And the way that they will do it is they're going to pretend that it's like it was a ballot received in the mail. They're going to, if you're returning it electronically, they're going to print it, seal it in an envelope, and attach your affidavit that you have submitted with it. There's an electronic affidavit portion that goes with this. And then that will remain sealed until it's counted with other ballots. So this is the same way in which ballots from military and overseas voters have been processed for years. So it's not an uncommon process for them. But you can also choose to have your ballot. If you want, you can print and return your ballot. In order to do that, you will need to provide a mailing address to your local election official so they can send you the envelopes. They'll send you the secrecy envelope, which will have a hole punch where you put add a signature. If you're unable to use the signature, you can still use the electronic affidavit. You just need to print that and put it in with the envelope. And then they will also provide you with a postage prepaid return envelope to send the ballot back to them. Am I missing anything, Kelly?
I would just say, I think the biggest thing is an email address is required with your application because all of this, you know, it's an electronic portal. It's accessed through a web browser. So the local election official needs an email address to provide you with the access to the system. So just make sure you're including an email address with your application so that they can provide you the link.
Yes, that was what I forgot to say.
David, could I ask a quick question?
We're here for all the questions. Go.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Once you've received your ballot, what is the deadline for actually voting? For midnight of the day of the election?
That's a great question. When is the deadline?
Yeah.
So in order for your ballots to be counted, if you're returning them electronically, they need to be received back by the clerk's office. So hit submit on the system by 8 p.m. on the day of the election. So 8 p.m. September 6th, 8 p.m. on November 8th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Excellent question, though. Okay. If you're mailing the ballot, if you're gonna print and return the ballot by mail or Dropbox, or someone's going to hand deliver it. So one of the other changes that came as part of the Votes Act is that it does allow a vote by mail, whether it's an absentee ballot or an early voting ballot, to be returned by a family member. The 2020 temporary law didn't make any changes to the early voting by mail, as the technical way we would describe vote by mail with no excuse. It only allowed a voter to return it. So the new law kind of makes absentee ballots and early voting ballots by mail similar, in that a family member can apply on your behalf for the ballot, and they can also hand deliver to return that ballot back for you. So if you're going to print and return the ballot, it does need to be received by the close of polls on primary night. So it would have to be received, meaning put into a Dropbox before 8 p.m., hand delivered, or the mail has to have brought it to the post to the election official by 8 p.m. on September 6th. For the November election, anything that's returned in a Dropbox or by hand that is printed ballot does need to be received by 8 p.m. If you are going to mail it, if it is postmarked by November 8th and received, the law says within 3 days, because the third day this time is a holiday, you get until Saturday, it would be received on Saturday, it would still be able to count, but it does have to be postmarked by the 8th, and then it would be received on the following Saturday to be counted. Okay. And that extra 3 days only applies to a general election, not a primary and not a municipal election.
Okay, great.
Michelle, this is Sharon, and I'm wondering, when might people be able to receive the links? Do you have any sense of that before we?
Excuse me. So this is Kelly. I'm currently in the process of proofing them, actually. So we because of the legislation being passed kind of late, we're still in the process of proofing these ballots. But I have given the okay to a couple of municipalities that they're good to go, people who have applied. So I would expect within the next week, actually, I would expect by early next week, you will be getting the link from your local election officials.
Yep. Okay. Can I ask one other question? And then if it's okay, we'll open it up to more questions.
Because we've got a couple in the queue, David. So.
Okay. Yeah, and I think generally the best protocol, because we have a good size group, is maybe that we raise hands. One question I have, and then I won't ask any questions more for a little while. You mentioned that it would have been nice if, you know, you had more time, because you could have publicized the whole thing a bit more. One thing we want to ask the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind is that they sponsor a town hall, an electronic town hall. They do that with some frequency.
Oh, they've already asked us about that, but they've asked us to do it in September.
Okay, so
Little short notice
for that, of course, to do it in time for the primary, but at least they'll do it in time for the fall election.
Absolutely. It's a great idea. I mean, they had emailed us last week. We enthusiastic. It might have been this week. I don't know. Everything's merging now. They asked us. We're happy to participate and in a town hall to be able to advertise it more. We were just disappointed that we were unable to advertise it more before the primary.
Do you have other plans to publicize it more between now and November?
Absolutely. So we're working on some sort of campaigns. We do have we have information. So the information for voters booklet that we publish that goes to every household, which comes out after the primary that has the information about the statewide ballot questions. That will contain information about the accessible vote by mail program. So, and that publication comes, we also work with the Commission for the Blind for them to distribute a large print version. We also have a Braille version, and we will also have an audio version of that available. So that will have information. We are trying to work with all of any organization that wants to advertise it. We will be happy to participate and work with them to provide information. Just so that you are aware, one of the things that we are doing, if you look at the information that is in the Red Book, the Information for Voters booklet, some of the words that are in that, as well as what are on our website, are very carefully chosen. You know, at the beginning of the presentation, there was some reference to kind of a political climate. We're trying very hard to not use the words online voting, because people tend to get a little nuts, and they don't necessarily understand what the program is. So our word choices in these, because they are going to every household, has been very careful to describe that it's not online voting. There's still going to be a paper ballot that is what is tallied in a polling location. It is just an accessible tool to mark a ballot. So we've been very careful on those word choices, but it's because of the nature of the program, in which sometimes people think it's something different than what it is.
Great. Tim, who do we got from the...
We got Jeanette. So Jeanette, go for it.
So I have to tell you, my husband and I live in Quincy, and we did the accessible ballot, and we had no trouble with doing the application, and our state election clerk, who knows us well at this point in our lives, has already said, you know, no problem. But one of the things that we discovered, and we were using the latest version of Acrobat Reader, I don't remember what it's called, but we were using that version, was that initially our clerk could not read the ballot. And what we discovered, and what you might want to tell people, is that if you just open the file, it's not going to read. But if they download it, then they can do it in whatever they have to do to print their ballots. That's the one thing I just wanted to let you know. My actual question is, we are going to get our pins hopefully sometime next week. Will we be able to use either the computer or the iPhone to complete the voting process?
So Kelly, before you answer that, Jeanette, I want to thank you for bringing that to our attention about the way in which the PDF or the file might come back to the election official. That's helpful to know so that we can make sure that we're alerting our election officials and that we're troubleshooting with them. That is certainly important to know. And then I'm going to let Kelly take the part about the iPhone, because I do believe one of our requirements was that it be whatever system, whenever they responded, one of the mandatory requirements was that it did need to work on a mobile device. So, Kelly, if you want to jump in there on that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it should work on a mobile device if you know, assuming obviously that you have accessible technology on your mobile device, but my understanding is that it will work on a mobile device as well as a computer.
Okay, Kim, go for it. You're next.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Michelle, for the background. This is Kim Charlson, and I have two things. One being that I wanted to let everyone know that the Perkins Braille and Talking Book Library will be distributing the Braille version for anyone who has received it previously. We keep a subscription list so we can fill those requests immediately. We are also going to be recording it and making it available on digital cartridge or for download, even if people want to have it available that way as well. And we provide the Secretary of State's office with an MP3 file that anyone can use to listen to it off of their website. So that'll all be coming once the primary ends and the answers to some questions that are currently up in the air are answered by the primary. So, so please, if you don't remember, if you received the voter information booklet previously in an accessible format that you prefer, call the Perkins Library and just ask us to check and make sure your name's on the list so we can distribute that to you right away after we get them done in probably toward late September, you know, but certainly, I mean, yeah, they're not going to be done for the primary. Obviously, it's after the primary. So we'll get them done as quick as we can once they're available and get them distributed so you have time to review all the ballot measures and races and things. So, Michelle, my second question is, when I filled out the form applying for an accessible accommodation for getting a ballot electronically, I noticed that there's a section at the bottom that is for someone who is filling the form out for the voter themselves. And what I wanted to know is, could I, as an example, fill out a form for someone who is not comfortable using or can't get the PDF to open or doesn't browse the web well, but does have a computer, can do their email, and can use an electronic ballot? I have to say that the Omni ballot system that I was fortunate to use for the last election in Watertown was so easy to use. It was just simple check boxes to pick the candidates and issues you wanted. But some people have trouble with forms. And I wanted to know if I could fill a form out for one of our members, as an example, not being a family member, but certainly being a professional in the service delivery field or anything like that, if I can assist people who are having trouble opening the form and or filling it out on the portal and they still want to vote with an electronic ballot.
So absolutely. So any person who is unable to complete the form independently can ask for assistance, and they can use whoever they want to assist them. So you would be able to assist anyone who needs a help in submitting the application. The family member is actually a totally separate thing, meaning I could just apply for it on your behalf, not necessarily assisting you, but I know you want a ballot, so I'm going to submit one for you. The family member one, honestly, always come the most common time it's used, and I'm sure you all appreciate this, is when the children are off for college and the parents want to make sure that they are voting, so they are applying for the ballot on their behalf. Whether the child wants to vote or not, they're going to get the ballot. And those are the scenarios where we most commonly see a family member applying on someone's behalf. So there are other instances, obviously, but as an assisting person, you can, you know, if a person is unable to complete the form on their own, that you can assist them.
Okay. And I just want to be clear. I would fill out the form, all the questions on the form. Do I need to fill out the part at the bottom where it says the name of the person assisting you to complete the form?
So I think there's two scenarios here. If you are assisting them, meaning you are doing absolutely every part of it for them, then I would complete that just to be safe. So there's full transparency. If you are kind of doing it with someone almost like over a Zoom and you're doing it
together
for them, as opposed to, you know, and then you're going to have them submit it on their own, I don't necessarily think you need to fill that out. I mean, it's never going to hurt to fill it out. And if you are working, or if anyone is kind of working with others as an assisting person, you can certainly let us know in case, you know, our clerks are pretty diligent. And if they keep seeing one name of an assisting person, they might get suspect. At least in the past, they have, when they'll see someone, and this is, you know, it's happened in some places with some shady stuff where someone will say they're assisting everybody and then all of the ballots are being mailed to one household. So it's a little shady. And that's where our clerks will chime in and say, like, hey, I don't know if this voter really needed the ballot, you know, needed assistance. I think with an accessible vote by mail system, it's pretty logical that maybe some people might need assistance in completing the application as well. But if there is, if anyone is, you know, working with people and you want to let us know that you're doing that, we can certainly make sure that we're sharing that with our election officials so that there is no doubt that this is a process that's validated and that, you know, it doesn't lead to questions that come back to the voter. And that we can be able to provide some clarification to our election officials in that process.
Great. I really appreciate that. And David, I want to let you know I'm volunteering to help anybody to assist them with their forms. This is so important, and I'm so excited and committed to making it available to as many people as possible. So I don't want the form to be an obstacle for anybody. So
yeah, no, that's great. And again, like you said, that Acrobat reader, you know, PDFs can sometimes be a stumbling block for people, whereas the online voting itself seemed to run very smoothly. Absolutely. So that type of assistance would be very, very good.
Okay.
We got next time.
Yep. Cindy Wentz, you're next.
All right. Thank you. Continuing along with that theme of PDFs and assistance or not, I so far have been unable to get the PDF in a format that I can fill it out. So am I correct in understanding that I can just go to the Secretary of State portal, the website, and use some kind of portal to do it there and that it won't show up as a PDF? Question number one. And question number two, did I see somewhere that I could just simply, you know, type out the information that's needed on the form and send it to my town clerk?
Yeah, so those are, I'm going to start with two questions. One, if you can use there is an online portal. So the online portal, the first thing you have to do through the online portal is enter your information as you're registered to vote. So it verifies that you're currently registered with all of your information. And that's by entering your first name, last name, date of birth, and your zip code. And then it will tell you where you are currently registered, what party you're registered in. And then it brings you to a screen where you can check the boxes, whether you want for the primary. It will be pre-populated with the box of the party that you are registered in, if you're registered in a political party. Otherwise, you have to pick. And then the screen has the option for you to request the accommodation. You do have to remember we reordered the screen a little bit. So when you look at it, it will have you, it does have an option for a phone number. It has an email address, and it does specifically say it's required if you're requesting an accommodation. And then there is submit an effort. It's a box that I swear I am a voter and I'm qualified and I'm not going to vote anywhere else. And then below that is where the accommodation is that you're requesting an accommodation, then you can submit that. So that is on our website. Otherwise, you can send an email to your local election official, your name, your address, your voter registration address. We would recommend that you include a date of birth just in case there's someone else with the same name. To clarify that you are who you are. And then you need to attach a signature. So this is the part where it gets a little tricky if you're submitting it through an email. The email could be if you have an image of your signature. Otherwise, you can type your name, but you would need to include a statement that says, I am unable, a disability prevents me from including a handwritten signature as part of this application, which is part of the PDF application that you were unable to access, which we apologize for.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's go back to... hold on.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Kelly. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, I know I wasn't very firm in my answer about returning it on with a smartphone. So I emailed Democracy Live just to double check, and she got back to me. So you can use any device to fill out your ballot. You can use a smartphone, you can use a tablet, you can use a computer. So you can use any device to fill out your ballot. I just wanted to mention that I did confirm that just now.
Awesome.
And I would like to now just confirm the fact that if Kelly was able to, this is why we really like this Democracy Live program and the Omni ballot, is because Kelly emailed them and they already responded. And, you know, it's 8 o'clock our time. I don't know where they're located out of, but the fact that they responded so quickly is why we also love them, because it was a very easy user experience we found from the voters who used it last year. As Kim mentioned, in addition to them being great customer service oriented for us on an administrative side, that was the response time. That makes it easier for us to be able to assist you and our local election officials to make sure that everything is running smoothly. That's what we love about this program.
Yeah, I'll also add about them that they've been very responsive with us at our annual convention in the spring. They came, they did a demonstration of filling out the ballot with a fake training ballot, and they've been very responsive in other states too. So it's really great that working with them, they know us, we know them, and as you say, they're very responsive.
I will say one thing that I am very happy about is that one of my very good friends, and this is probably not public yet, who was the state election director in Washington State up until I think last year, when her Secretary of State left, everybody left. And they were in Washington State. They did accessible vote by mail because they did everything by mail. All of their voting was by mail. She actually is going to be joining the Democracy Live team focusing on government relations. But she's a great resource because she understands the administrative side of it. She just was recently working at the Vote at Home program. So I think it's going to be a great fit because she's just great. I think it'll make this program even better. So if that's possible.
Okay, Rich, go ahead. You are next.
My question is, I sent in a request and I got an email back saying it was a vote by mail. So that's the right thing I'm supposed to get back. And so I have to fill another form out on there, and then they'll send me the electronic ballot. Is that how it works?
So, Rich, I'm not sure what you got. So did you apply using the portal?
I sent in the link that I had, and I sent in, I gave my name, address, and I got an email back saying that it's a vote by it's for voting vote by mail, and I have to fill out something else out in there.
If you want, we'll make sure. Let me give you my email address. If you could forward that to me, I just want to make sure that you're not being asked to apply twice.
I don't have any way of taking down your email address right at this moment.
That's fine. So, Rich, why don't I?
I'll get it to you, Rich.
Thank you, Sharon.
I have it. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, if you guys could just make sure that everyone has my email address and Kelly's email address in case there are any technical issues. One thing that we had noticed and the reason why I asked about the online portal is when we first launched it, we had one municipality who told us that every application that came through the portal said they wanted an accessible ballot. And we think it was that the placement of where the words were not necessarily clear, that not everyone qualifies for one. And it was just, let me just check every box before I hit submit. So user design is important, obviously. So we've made some changes and clarifications to the words that are on the page. What we've advised our local election officials, and Kelly did a training with them today, was to, first of all, acknowledge receipt of any application via email. and to say, you know, we're, you know, we just want to remind, make sure that you're requesting an accessible ballot, because there were, as I said, there was one municipality, which is a not a large municipality, that had 7 applications come through the online portal, and they all remarkably wanted an accessible vote by mail ballot, which seemed a little off to us as well as to them. So what we're just trying to do is, you know, we obviously want to make sure that the program is administered correctly. So we have provided sample language to our election officials, but we don't want people to have to jump through multiple hoops to get the access to the system. So, you know, Sharon can make sure that you guys have our email addresses, so that there are any issues, you can certainly email Kelly and I directly. And I think the email address for the accessible vote by mail coordinator, which is Kelly gets those emails, we'll make sure that, you know, we respond to it and we address this quickly, whether it's an issue that we need to respond to you with to get more information, or we need to tell the clerk that they're not doing it correctly. We want to resolve these issues quickly.
Yeah. When I sent it in, I put in the subject line request for electronic ballot. So.
Yeah. Maybe the clerk may not have understood it correctly. If it was not coming through on an application that was submitted as a PDF or through the portal, there may be some confusion. And as I said, Kelly did a training today, you know, a virtual training, but not everyone was able to join. We did an advisory to our local election officials yesterday.
Okay. Thank you.
The other day. But we want to make sure that if there is confusion, sometimes people miss an email. They might not have seen our instructions. We want to resolve it. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Joyce, you are next. So if you can. Yeah, there you go. You got it.
I think I might be confused, but you said there was an affidavit to sign. I have to do mine on a PC, so I wouldn't be able to sign it. So I would write the line that you said, write my name, and then say, type my name, and then say that I'm unable to provide a signature.
We're talking about two separate things. One is the application, which if you're using the online portal, I guess the question is, are you talking about the application or submitting the ballot?
I'm not sure now. I think I was confused. So if it's the application that you need the affidavit for?
So the application itself, if you use our online portal, there is a checkbox and there's no signature required. There's a checkbox to request the accommodation. There is no signature required. The affidavit is part of submitting the ballot electronically, and it is an accessible affidavit at which you can use a typed name.
Okay, and what is the, it's at mass.gov and then the Secretary of State's office. How do you get to the portal?
Kelly, do you know what the sharing says?
For directly to the voting by mail, and the portal is mailmyballotma.com.
That's all I have to type? Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you.
Otherwise, if you try to go through the regular Secretary of State website, it's like a nightmare. It's www.sec.state.ma.us/ELE and then / a whole bunch of other stuff. So we provided a shortened one.
Okay, next is, let's see, Sharon.
Hi, I have two picky details and then a suggestion for outreach. The picky details are, once we get our pins, I'm assuming that the voting, we cannot submit until the early voting starts. Is that correct?
No, you can submit now. So early voting by mail is currently happening, and you are doing early voting by mail just accessibly.
Okay. And the second thing is, I think I understood this correctly. When we do submit the ballot, you don't have to attach it as a PDF. It just goes with a submit button into the portal. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm going to let Kelly. Yeah.
Yeah, it is returned through the portal. You don't need to, unless you are going to print it and return it, you know, using an envelope by mail or Dropbox.
No.
You just hit submit and it goes, you are able to review your affidavit first, and then you can review the ballot and make sure it's, you know, marked, and then you can submit it straight to your local election official. You don't have to do any PDF download and email or anything like that.
Excellent. And my final thing is that I was speaking the other night with the woman who runs the office in Worcester where I live for disability and human rights. And she was very interested in what we were doing and wanted to make sure that it got publicized to people with other disabilities, which I think it's available too, correct?
So technically under the law, it's available to a person whose disability prevents them from independently marking a paper ballot.
Okay, so I wonder if that would include any other disability.
We're not checking where whoever is applying for it. That's what the language on the affidavit says, as well as, you know what I mean, and the application, it says that. So, I mean, I am certainly not qualified to determine what type of disability would prevent someone from marking a paper ballot. I can imagine there is a wide variety that could include that. So that is not up to us to determine, or a local election official. I think it's up to the voter to determine that.
Sure. So you might want to send this publicity to the independent living centers
around the state. That makes total sense. Yeah, we can also work through our local election officials to make sure they're distributing information through their local disability commissions as
commissions,
well.
Exactly right.
And as you mentioned Worcester, I mean, they're a great example. The election official in Worcester who was the one who used the program, the same system in 2021, was so enthusiastic about it when we said, hey, what did you, you know, we know you use the system. Did you like it? And he couldn't say enough great things about it. And he's like, do you want me to do a demo? My voters loved it. I loved it. So I think that working through our election officials and having them coordinate with their disability commissions is also a great way to push the information out.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, David, you're next.
Okay. Hello. It's great to know that we have some dogs that are very enthusiastic about voting this year. So that's great. Question. Just to be clear, when I submit my request for the ballot, I will be submitting that PDF once only for both September and November. So I'm assuming that is correct. And if I am correct on that, for the November election, when would I be receiving the PIN for the November election? You know, if I was sort of, when would I start panicking if I was not receiving it for the in advance of the November election?
No, that's a great question. So for the November election, I'll just give you some general information about our process. So as I mentioned previously, we are the ones who prepare the ballots for state elections. The primary is September 6th. There are some post-primary deadlines that will happen, and they probably go until about the 12th. That may affect the printing of some of the ballots. Otherwise, we start printing them. We start getting them ready and having the PDFs created, which the PDFs are what are used to create the ballots in this system. You will be happy to know that under federal law, those PDFs have to be available for military voters 45 days before an election. So we will have them available and be able to start putting them into the Democracy Live system around that time period as well. So it should be obviously significantly earlier than it was, because the primary is in just a couple of weeks. You'll have a lot more time. So I'm thinking late September, very late September, early October is when that will happen. We will also make sure that our local election officials are communicating, and that we are communicating with the community to make sure that people have an expectation on those timeframes, and that people are aware of it. Like, hey, if you haven't gotten your PIN by now, please let us know so that we can, you know, check into that.
Thank you.
Okay, we have no more hands at this point, Sharon.
Well, I would like to thank everybody who came tonight, and especially you, Michelle, and Kelly for taking a little time with us this evening. More important, though, is just the effort that you've put in. And again, I'm sure you've been working, you know, late into the night because it's been a rush job. But we really appreciate it. This really is so fundamentally important to us as citizens of the Commonwealth. And so thank you again for coming tonight. And thank you for all your efforts to make voting more accessible for us here in the Commonwealth.